Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
We are coming to the conclusion of the third and most major section of Paul's epistle to Philemon. You recall that the standard format of epistles in Paul's day included four different sections. First of all, the salutation, where the author would identify himself and the people to whom he's writing and have a word of greeting to them. Secondly, the giving of thanks, which was a tribute to the pagan gods in Greek and Roman letters, but was a tribute of thanks to God Almighty in the letters of Christians. Third is the main body of the letter, the reason for writing, the purpose for which the letter is penned. And you can find these four sections in most of Paul's epistles in the New Testament. And then after the main body is concluded, the fourth section is what we just might call the conclusion, greetings and a final benediction. Well, you recall that the reason Paul wrote this letter to Philemon was to prepare the way for the return of Onesimus, Philemon's runaway slave who had gone to Rome and had become a Christian and was now coming back to make things right. And Paul writes this epistle to his dear Christian friend Philemon to appeal to him to receive Onesimus kindly, favorably, even as kindly as he would receive the Apostle Paul himself. And coming to the last two verses of the main body of the epistle, we find in verse 21 a word of encouragement, and in verse 22 a reminder of accountability. As to encouragement, Paul says, "Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say." But as to accountability, he says, "Meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you." Thank you for joining me on this Monday, December 11, and thanks for those whose financial gifts keep us teaching God's Word on this station. And we will explore a little bit further that second verse, the one that deals with accountability, in verse 22. And I started that on the broadcast Friday by asking and answering some questions. Why does Paul request a guest room? Obviously, because he expects to be released from Roman imprisonment and to travel to Colossae. How does Paul know that he's going to be released from Roman imprisonment, or why does he at least think he's going to? And the answer is likely because he knows the case against him is weak. But he also believes that God is going to prosper his trial and bring about his release. But he expects, therefore, to be released not just because there's a weak case against him and perhaps he has a good defense, perhaps even a lawyer, though that's not mentioned. But he expects to be released in response to the prayers of God's people, as we learned in verse 22, "Meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you." The next question that arises in my mind is, wait a minute, what's going on here? Has Paul changed his ministry plans? Because in the book of Romans, chapter 15, verse 24, he said that his next location after visiting Rome would be Spain. He was intending to continue to go in a westward direction. Now he is in Rome, not quite the way he'd planned to get there, but he was there as a Roman prisoner, and now he plans to move back in an eastward direction and to travel to Asia. So has he changed his ministry plans? Well, the obvious answer is apparently so, because altered circumstances require altered plans. When he said he would go to Rome and then from there on his way to Spain, of course he thought he would be traveling as he normally did, as a missionary, a free man, traveling of his own accord, not as a prisoner of Rome. So that rather significant change in his circumstances may have altered his plans, but it's also possible that he still intends to go to Spain either before or after he travels back east toward Colossae. We don't have any biblical verification one way or the other as to whether he got to Spain, but Clement, in AD 95, that's pretty close to the events here, Clement in AD 95 stated that Paul did indeed go to Spain, and I would take that to be an accurate historical record. But now let's examine the text more carefully, phrase by phrase. First of all, he says, but meanwhile. Meanwhile. What does he mean by that? Well, it links, of course, to verse 21. He's saying to Philemon, while you are obeying my instructions to you and doing even more than I say, in the meanwhile, I have something else I want you to do. Remember verse 21, having confidence in your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say, but meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me. While you are carrying out these instructions that relate to Onesimus, which will take some time, also be preparing a guest room for me. And the word guest room can technically mean any kind of lodging, public or private, but the circumstances strongly, I would say almost unequivocally, point to a guest room in Philemon's house. Paul wasn't really even saying, would it be possible for me to come to Colossae and stay with you while I'm there? He issues instructions to that end. In the meanwhile, prepare a guest room for me. He must have had a pretty close relationship with Philemon. How many people do we know that we could say something like that to? I'm coming to visit for you. Prepare a guest room for me. A few people, we probably could. Close friends, we probably could. Family, relatives, we probably could. Though even in that case, I would recommend that a wiser approach would be to ask rather than to inform. But Paul does inform Philemon that he needs to prepare a guest room for the Apostle Paul. And of course, we've already talked about the prayers. I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. Prayers, we learn from Scripture, are the means that God uses to accomplish His purposes. That's mysterious, but that is the case. Prayers are the nerves, we might say, that move the muscles of omnipotence. But what is interesting about this phrase, through your prayers, reading it on the surface in the English Bible, we would assume he's talking about Philemon's prayers, but actually he's not. At least not Philemon's alone. How do we know? Because the word is a second person plural, not a second person singular. And what does that mean? Well, that means that this instruction is written to the whole church at Colossae. And you may remember that the Philemon epistle opens with using plural pronouns, written to the whole church, and then the body of the epistle moves forward with singular pronouns, written as a personal letter to Philemon, but it closes by reverting back to these plural pronouns, including more than Philemon, but including the whole church. And so the epistle comes full cycle at this point, from writing to you all, and then narrowing it down to you, Philemon, he now comes back to you all again. Meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through, I don't even know how to say this, y'all's prayers, I shall be granted to you. And so in summarizing what we have in verse 22, I think we can lay it out. I guess I should say something like this. Paul plans to visit Philemon in Colossae. He appeals to the Colossian church to pray for his release from Roman imprisonment. He desires to visit them to renew fellowship with some of them, a few of them that he knows, but that would only be a few, and to meet others. Remember, Paul has never been to Colossae before. This will be his first visit to the city of Colossae. And so by stating his intention to visit, Paul subtly inserts an element of accountability into this whole issue. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say, but meanwhile also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. In other words, he will come to see for himself how well Philemon obeys the suggestions and appeals of this epistle. It is an element of accountability. It is gentle, it is understated, but it is unmistakable. It is a gentle compulsion, as J.B. Lightfoot puts it. And by appealing to the prayers of the whole church, not to the prayers of Philemon alone, Paul inserts another layer of accountability. How so? By putting it that way, Philemon now knows that the whole church will be watching to see how he responds to Paul's instructions. So, one level of accountability, Paul says, I'll be coming in a little while to visit with you. And he doesn't say, when I come, I'm going to check up and see how faithfully you carried out my directions to you in this epistle. He doesn't say that, but he doesn't have to say it. It's obvious that's what the result will be, even if he doesn't say that. Paul's coming here. He's going to view the situation for himself. He's going to find out how I have treated Onesimus. He's going to be able to talk to Onesimus to see what response that his epistle had in my forgiving Onesimus and receiving him as a Christian brother. He's going to visit the church. He'll be able to get a report from all the people in the church as to what's going on in the relationship between Philemon and Onesimus. It is a very powerful level of accountability, and then, of course, throwing in the accountability of the church itself, because by writing this epistle in such a way that it was evidently read to the whole church, even though it was an epistle to Philemon, then everybody's going to know about it. Everybody's going to be praying for Paul's release. Everybody's going to be anticipating Paul's visit. And everybody's going to be watching Philemon to see how faithfully he carries out Paul's instructions. So it is a gentle way of accountability, but it is an unmistakable way of accountability. And this, my friends, is the biblical mechanism for accountability. Personal involvement by Christian leaders in the lives of the people that they are leading, as well as interaction among the fellow members of the local body of Christ in order to encourage one another to be obedient to the Word of God, and to live in the way that God intends us to do. It is a very biblical concept. Unfortunately, it seems to be a very foreign concept in America today. I wonder which is correct, America or the Bible. Until tomorrow, Craig Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.